You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of April 5th, 2016, and this week, we second guess ourselves.
Welcome back to the Experience Points podcast. I'm George Alvord.
My name is Scott Juster.
We are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net, a site dedicated to the serious but not humorless conversation about video games. There have been many games we've played in the past. Some we've loved, some we've hated, some we felt meh about.
My favorite kind of games.
Today on the podcast, we're actually discussing some of the games that we liked or remember fondly, but maybe weren't actually all that good.
Yes.
Maybe they didn't age well,
yeah.
I feel like, is another big concern. This actually comes from an article on Gameological Society by the whole crew of staff over there at the AV Club that asks, what game do you love despite knowing it's terrible?
And I think we're going to take a slightly less hardcore line on it because, you know, I try not to play straight-up terrible games.
Yes, I agreed.
But I still think there are some games out there that I have a sneaking suspicion that I either know in my heart of hearts that maybe they're not as great as I think they are, or I'm scared to go back to them because I'm afraid of what I'll find out.
Yeah, totally. And I think you can see that in their list, right? Like, They include something like Digimon, like a Digimon RPG.
Which I didn't even know existed, by the way.
There's like that, oh my god, Stepping Selection? Joe Kaiser shows Stepping Selection, which is like this weird Japanese-only rhythm game.
Yeah.
There's all these things that we go into the past to find as examples of bad games that we nevertheless played a lot of, mostly because we played them and we were probably children and we didn't have a whole lot of money.
So innocent.
We didn't have, Two, we didn't have money to realize, oh, this game's not very good, or if it's not good, we don't have the money to buy a new one to replace it. These days, not only do I have a job.
Are we rich?
Are we fucking just throwing the money away? But we have a much easier time finding games and sourcing reviews for that game. I mean, I remember asking a friend, like, oh, is Wild Arms good? And it's like that guy's response was my only source of information.
Yeah.
Or I would buy, like, PlayStation Magazine or something, you know, every now and then, and mostly just for the demos, but it did technically have reviews in there.
So, weirdly enough, all of these Nintendo games are getting great reviews from Nintendo Power.
So, we'll go a little bit far back, but there's even games that have come out relatively recently that I remember talking about and liking and thinking about, but now I'm just not quite so sure they hold up.
Oh, okay.
And I feel like whether or not something holds up is like kind of a unique concern of the modern era. And I was tempted to say it's not a unique concern of gaming, but I don't think it is. I think there are people who go, oh, I love that TV show as a kid. Does it hold up?
Or like, I watched the original Ghostbusters. You know, I was afraid like Ghostbusters 1 holds up really well, but like Ghostbusters 2 doesn't, you know, whatever. That sort of thing.
And maybe I think the fear is somewhat built on all of these shows and stuff coming back. Like, Fuller House is out. Fuller House apparently is garbage. Guess what? I'm willing to say Full House was probably garbage.
How dare you slander the good name.
I was talking today about that show Sliders.
Oh,
was Sliders really any good?
Didn't they just put that show up on Netflix, too? Like, I feel like it popped up.
Or, like, Stargate. I watched so much Stargate as a kid. Was that show any good? I have no idea.
I actually feel like Stargate is actually a movie version of this concept because I watched the movie, I don't know, maybe a year or 2 years ago. Because I was like, I wonder if this is as good as I thought it was.
You literally were having this conversation in your head.
And I think some parts of it were, and in other parts were like, I came away admiring it. Being like, oh, they went for it.
Yeah.
Even though it didn't necessarily hit, you know, on all cylinders, they went for it. And I think that's one of the things that I like about some of these video games that we're going to talk about.
There are sensibilities that just don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
But then they're also like, oh, you tried to do something different. You failed. Yeah. That's all admitted. You failed. But you tried.
Yeah. Well, do you want to start us off with a game or do you want me to start off?
I can start us off with one. Let's see. So, I'm a big fan of the Parasite Eve series.
Oh, now, man. Now I have not heard about that game forever.
So I know that there are a lot of people out there who really enjoyed
Parasite Eve. There was a sequel, too.
Yeah, Parasite Eve 2. I also played that. Game is also fucking cool. Parasite Eve, you know, in a weird way, it's very much like Resident Evil.
Mm-hmm.
But in the way that it's like Resident Evil, I think you can probably find all of the same things to hate. Yeah. So there's all of these, like, fixed cameras.
Is it like the, did it have tank controls, too?
Yeah, like tank Evil? Controls. Oh, yeah, like really shitty, not fun experience controlling Parasite Eve. And my guess, and again, I haven't played Parasite Eve in many years, my guess is the story is probably not very good either.
Yeah, because didn't that come out during, like, the PlayStation 1 era? Yeah. Like, Squaresoft ruled the earth. Like, basically, they could put a label on a game and we would buy it.
Right, and it's like a modern RPG, right? Yeah. So what is the logic of, like, a turn-based... Like, okay, I'm going to shoot... I'm taking a gun, and I'm going to shoot at a rat, and I'm going to wait for that rat to attack me back before I shoot at it again. Like, there's just weird, like,
But things. The aesthetic of it was, like, very realistic. Like, it, well, yeah. I mean, maybe not
when well, you look I mean, for, at it now, for but,
like,
time,
for the
yeah.
time, it was meant to be, like, a real-world look.
Well, and yeah. I remember distinctly there's a sort of hard science bent that they were trying to play around with, right?
Wasn't there some shit about, like, mitochondria?
Mitochondrial man. Eve. So basically... mitochondrial Eve was like this woman, and the mitochondria is a foreign thing within your cell,
yes.
which was you know we can trace back and, yeah. and is not something that was normally part of the cell. Creates energy, and so the story was that this like mitochondrial Eve woman was causing people to burst into flames because their mitochondria are producing all this energy.
She'd like activate them.
Yeah, it would like activate, and like humans would burn to a crisp, but like other creatures would become weird manifestations of themselves. I think it might have been Parasite Eve 1, but I suspect it was in Parasite Eve 2. There was a scene where... God, what was her name? Maya, I think the main character's name was.
That sounds suitably
1990s. Went to a zoo. And of course, like a fucking polar bear or whatever. Mm-hmm. And like all these zoo animals have mutated. All super tongue-in-cheek. But when I think about like my short list of games that I want reboots for, I go to Parasite Eve. Mm. I don't know if that's a wise choice.
Yeah.
But I feel like, man, now's the time. Mm. Let's get another Parasite Eve going.
Man, I feel like maybe a fair amount of these games might be of that era, like the kind of early to mid-90s, right. and maybe well, specifically JRPG.
Well, we learned better, I think, is maybe the issue.
we learned not to fuck with mitochondria. Well, I just like, leave mitochondria alone.
I put those things, too, in, like, what was that, Dino Crisis?
Oh, yeah, Dino
like,
Crisis,
Dino
yeah.
Crisis 2, like, that same
you know,
sort of
on,
set.
On my list, I have, like, I haven't played the original Resident Evil for a really long time. And part of that is because, like, I'm not quite sure if that game is actually all that great.
Yeah.
I think it's
yeah.
influential, but... I don't, and for the same exact reason that like all that Dino Crisis stuff, Parasite Eve, like that slew of games, yeah. I'm a little worried to go back to.
It's weird having this concern because I fear that if I play the game now, it will color my perceptions forever.
Yeah,
and I
you'll
won't
look
be
back
able to remember
it.
Fondly. You know what I
well,
mean?
Well, you'll have to think about your memories rather than the game itself.
My memories are quickly fading, Scott. I'm a dying old man.
I put down Resident Evil as one that I think maybe is like influential, but maybe not great. I put down a few other Super Nintendo games because I played a lot of Super Nintendo.
Okay.
Did you ever play this game called Secret of Evermore?
I don't think so.
So it was another Squaresoft game, but I think it was made by an American development studio within Squaresoft. And it was supposed to be kind of a... spiritual successor to Secret of Mana, which itself was like, you know, one of people's favorite games or whatever. But the game controlled a lot like, you know, the original Secret of Mana, but it had a more kind of 1950s American aesthetic.
Yeah.
Like it was cartoonish. But it was a time traveling thing, which is already cool. We love time traveling stuff. You had a dog. Sweet. Way before Peter Molyneux ever
Take
got
that.
Into this dog stuff. Yeah. The dog, depending on where you were in time, would morph to fit the type of dog that would befit that era and that location.
So was it a different dog?
Or it was the same dog. Same dog.
Why? How did he morph?
When you went back to prehistoric times, he was like a huge like wolf type dog. He was kind of like a greyhound type, you know, racing dog in the Egyptian area.
Mm-hmm.
eventually you went into the future and he became a robot dog.
Robot dog, yeah. Sweet.
But I mean, there was like this kind of quasi thought out crafting system where you could like pick up material from enemies, and you know, there was a little bit of like a weapon and armor type system, but looking back on it, probably pretty shallow. I don't think it hit as hard for like some of the musical stuff as some of those old Squaresoft games did, but I remember playing that game multiple times.
Yeah. And multiple times.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I think it was probably because I really liked the idea of, instead of, you know, the traditional Final Fantasy-esque type setup, it was, you know, a weird Americana take on it.
Yeah.
Like, it looked like a 1950s cartoonish type thing.
It's also weird to me that there are these groups of sequels / spinoffs that many people have played, especially in RPGs, that were generally, like, known to not be good, but sort of fed the appetite or your desire for more of that type of game,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So something like, what was the sequel to Chrono Trigger?
Oh, Chrono Cross.
Chrono Cross, right? Yeah. Like,
I will say this right now, and I know this is going to start a fight. I don't think that's a great game.
No, but okay. But again, that's my point. That's not the point, yeah, right? Is people didn't play Chrono Cross because they were like, this game is amazing.
Yeah.
They played Chrono Cross because they wanted more Chrono Trigger.
Yeah.
The same reason, like, you know, I played and I kind of liked Final Fantasy IX. I did not play Final Fantasy IX.
Whatever, Final Fantasy IX was a good Final Fantasy game.
Well, sure, but that is like one of the most more controversial of the Final Fantasies.
Yeah.
Aesthetic-wise, all that stuff. That is not Final Fantasy VIII, but you go into that hoping that you'll get something like that. Mm. Or your Secret of Mana example, or, you know, all sorts of like weird RPGs out there that were spin-offs or different takes on different games.
Yeah. I have a whole genre of game.
Okay.
Do you think that besides Mario Kart, there has ever been a good kart racer?
Crash Bandicoot's okay.
CTR, or yeah, what do they call it? Crash Team Racing.
Crash Team Racing was okay.
I don't know if I ever played that.
That was a that's fine. Or you know what?
I played Diddy Kong Racing.
Oh god, that was probably garbage. Huh?
It had airplanes.
There was a game, and again. Okay, so at this point, too, there's a lot of games that I remember playing, but I don't know what they're called because they were bad, and I'm trying to like put them out of my memory. But there was a racing game, and it looked a little bit like Burnout. Mm. It had like trucks and stuff, and
trucks.
It was like normal cars, but you could go over power-ups and fire like fucking rockets. Like one attack was like a 3 rockets that would like spin and blow up other cars.
Mm.
So it definitely had a Mario Kart feel, even though it wasn't a kart racer.
Gosh, I just remember playing some of those games so much.
I wonder what that kart game was now.
I mean, kart, I mean, there's, but now I feel like there's almost no kart games except for Mario Kart.
Well, yeah, there can only be one.
I mean, it feels like it. Mario Kart has like blue shelled the rest of that whole subgenre of racing games.
I mean, I wonder if it's the seriousness that we take our games now, you know, like, oh, this racing game needs to be hardcore.
Yeah. Has to be. This is Mario Kart went in that way. Like there was more hardcore. Like there's like different stats for your different carts and stuff.
It's also just weird, right? Like why would Nathan Drake be in a cart? You know, like what game are you gonna like
why,
do this with?
Why wouldn't he? That rascal gets into everything.
But are you gonna have like a Halo kart racing? Like it doesn't. It's just weird to imagine.
Fucking Master Chief racing.
Anybody like
the Arbiter throwing a banana at Master Chief?
It's just like, bizarre. That's weird.
I remember just playing a lot of Diddy Kong Racing. I don't know if that's good or not, though.
So another game from farther back in that era is Klonoa. I was a big fan of Klonoa 2.
Klonoa.
Which were...
They did a reboot of that. Or not a reboot, a remaster.
I think
remaster
they remastered it called Klonoa, which I also played.
Mm-hmm.
Those were really cool games. I don't know if they've aged well. I suspect not, because in many ways, those were platformers that were cool, but have now, at this point, likely been overshadowed by things like... what's the Ubi game? Rayman? Like Legends and those games have really mastered the sort of side-scrolling, platformer, jovial, fun kind of stuff. I dug Klonoa a lot. I played the shit out of that game, but is it any good? I don't know.
Did you ever play the N64 game Mischief Makers?
No, I don't think so.
It was another 2D... 3D rendered 2D perspective type game. And part of the gimmick of that game was you had like a pretty heavy like grab mechanic. Like you had to jump to various platforms but also use the grab button.
Sure. Like Bionic Commando or something?
Kind of, except you were just kind of like grabbing onto things, and you would have to grab enemies and shake them and then throw them. There's like Sweet. A multi-step process to like weaponizing enemies and stuff.
Yeah.
And looking, you know, I thought that was a really cool game. It might have been something that I was just like, you know, starved for games to play. But I have fonder memories of that game than I feel like that game may warrant.
Deserve.
Yeah. Plus, Mischief Makers is a really hilarious.
Oh, like, yeah, that's a great
Japanese name. Like video game name.
Yeah, there's also a few games that I think that were only good because they were multiplayer. Mm. One of them, you and I played in like early experience points days, and we've been doing this long enough now where we have those.
Oh yeah.
But Call of Juarez: Bound in Blood.
Oh yeah, I remember that one.
It's like a two-player. Mm-hmm. We played co-op.
Yep.
At some points, it would be like these weird shootout mechanics where you would like mark targets or something. I cannot imagine that game is any good, but I feel like we had a good time playing it.
Well, because I remember there was that like, it was the two brothers, right?
Yeah,
that
were like, and one of them they were like priest. Civil War. Yeah, yeah. Which is so stupid. Oh my god. Well, and so on the same track, and again, I think this one probably does hold up a little bit more. But Fear 3, I really enjoyed. I didn't even fucking play Fear 2.
Mm.
I thought that was a really cool co-op game.
Yeah.
And it's only really, I think that game is really only compelling in a co-op experience because one person is playing a traditional shooter.
One's the ghost, right?
And one is the ghost who's like jumping around the map and playing asymmetrically. Yeah. And there's like a weird competitive thing where if you get more points during the match, you get to decide the narrative outcome of certain things in the game. So there's a few like that. Army of Two is another one.
Oh yeah.
Like I doubt Army of Two is very good. Yeah. And I don't think we even liked it when we played it, but the act of playing it in a two-player environment is far more compelling.
There's very few games where you can fist bump.
Very few games.
And that was one of them. Yeah. So you always have kind of a soft spot for that.
But like, did we play 50 Cent Blood on the Sand? Is that two players?
We never did, but it is multiplayer. We should definitely play that for one of our classic games.
Like, oh my god. Well, next time we'll do the double whammy of 50 Cent Blood on the Sand and Kanye's mom game.
Oh, man. And then to round out the hip-hop, we'll play the Wu-Tang Clan fighting game that came out a while
back. Exactly, yeah. Fury of the Fist, or what was it? Something like that.
Something like that. There was probably somewhere the word Chambers was involved. did you ever play...
That game ain't nothing to fuck with, by the way.
Did you ever play Eternal Darkness?
Very briefly, but I didn't finish it.
I think that game, I'll always have a soft spot for that game, although I think it was clunkier than I originally admitted when really, really liked it. Yeah. And I still really like that game because I think it does some really cool things that not a lot of games do. But it was of the tail end of that era where something like Resident Evil was acceptable from like a control perspective, like a lot of fixed cameras, a lot of strange angles when you're walking around, but the story of that game, it's like an eldritch horror game, you know. It's like Cthulhu, the old ones, you're like serving you have to choose what old god you're serving, you know, at the end. And there's a lot of cool stuff.
I mean, a lot of people like that game fondly because of the weird story stuff that they did.
Yeah.
So there comes a point where it's like, oh, you know that mechanically it's not a good game, but the narrative is so interesting and cool.
Yeah. You can kind of overlook some of that stuff.
That's kind of the hope of recreating some, you know, some remasters and stuff, right? Like Deus Ex or System Shock. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess someone's working on System Shock 2
remake, right? Yes. They're making a new System Shock game, and they're also remaking the first one, I think, or maybe they're remaking the second one. Maybe
either way, I mean, that's another good example, right? It's like you can play those games now, but I think you're going to find a lot of people running that up on Steam and going, holy shit, this game looks awful.
Yeah.
And then not, you know, choosing not to play it anymore.
Yeah.
I have one on my list that is relatively new and I really enjoy, and I think it's even somewhat well reviewed, but it's a little bit shameful to like it.
Kim Kardashian game.
Kim Kardashian. No, Danganronpa Trigger Happy Havoc.
Oh, yeah.
So this is like a story narrative game from Japan. And I've played all of the first Danganronpa and some of the second one.
Mm-hmm.
And both games are just so Japanese.
Mm.
You know, there are like, you know, women in scantily clad clothing that are like, you know, awkwardly falling on dudes.
Yeah.
Like in the second one, one of the main characters falls in a very sexually explicit way multiple times. Like, that is the running joke. And she's constantly falling and just, like, showing her genitals to everybody. And they... The game stops, and they have, like, an overlay, like, a nice drawn image of her doing this with, like, you know, spaghetti and meatballs perfectly situated over her crotch so that you can't see anything. It's just, it's so bizarre.
And are you like, oh, senpai,
it's so embarrassing, right? Like, I'm so... I take public transportation, and that's when I play mobile games.
You need, like,
so,
a little screen protector.
I mean, I want to just, like, oh, God, don't, like, please don't let this person next to me look at what I'm doing right now. But those games are fucking cool. Like, they're super fun. And the characters are so over the top that it becomes, like, charming and funny again.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just really weird to say, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to play this game that is so embraces the bizarre and weird and Japanese. But I think this would be true of anything, right? Like, I think I might be a little bit embarrassed if I were to play a sort of really child-friendly game that was nevertheless really good on public transportation.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, whatever. People on the bus or the train have no leg to stand on since half of them are playing freaking Hearthstone.
That's so true. Like... That's a very good point. Or Bejeweled or some clone of it.
I was thinking about the childish angle because they recently did a re-release of Yoshi's Story. I think for, like, the Wii U shop or whatever. Yeah. But I remember thinking that even though that game was not something that I expected, like, I expected, like, Yoshi's Island 2 or something. I remember liking it, but then also, like, kind of going through that game a million times, realizing that there wasn't too much challenge there, and just kind of saying, like, oh, well, hopefully I spent my money on something that I liked for just kind of the experience of it rather than actually getting a lot of time out of it or getting a lot of challenge out of it. Yeah. It was an early game that kind of taught me that lesson.
Yep.
And I'd actually probably think it's one of the weaker Mario-esque type games out there, but it's still something that I look back on kind of fondly because it was one of those early games where it's like, oh, this is like more of like an art platformer.
Yeah. Interesting. Are there any games that you think, or rather, are there any games that you've gone back to thinking, oh, this isn't going to hold up, and then surprise, it does? Like, it's actually really strong?
Yeah, I gotta think. I was actually, I hadn't played, until it came out on the Wii U again, I hadn't played Wind Waker for a really long time, and was pleasantly surprised that it did hold up. Because it's looked at, you know.
Yeah, it looks gorgeous still.
And also, it's like one of those things where it got released, or it got announced, there was backlash by it, and then it became cool to then like Wind Waker because you were backlashing against the backlash or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, I wonder if people are just saying this, or if there's actually something there. And I actually think it is a pretty neat game, and the way that they mess with the Zelda lore is, like, more ambitious than pretty much anything that Zelda has ever done.
Yeah.
Back in, like, what, 2001 or whenever that game came out.
Yeah. And there's so many Zelda games, like, it's so easy to pick your favorite as not that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
I played, and this is a while ago still, I was playing this game with our friend Steve back when we still lived together. But we played Kirby's Dream Course.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the Kirby-themed golf game that's available on the Wii U.
Yep.
Now, you don't normally go...
I want my hardcore golf sim.
Exactly. You don't go to, like, Nintendo for simulation games. And there's so many, like, you know, Mario RPG, which is also really fucking good. But in fact, I would argue probably most Nintendo games hold up.
Yeah, Nintendo games have a pretty good shelf life.
But Dream Course, the golf game, is just so fucking good.
Like, yeah.
It can be really competitive, and you can see the skill that goes into actually knowing what route to send your little Kirby golf ball to pick up certain abilities that then change the function. Like, if you pick up a stone ability, then you're heavy, so you could slide down a hill, and then you time the ability to get rid of that quickly enough so that you continue rolling.
Or like the sea urchin thing that will stop you.
Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah, like it's so smartly done.
Yeah.
And it is competitive multiplayer that it just really lent itself well. So we ended up playing that a lot. Like we played through the whole game together, getting better and getting good, and then playing some more. Like, it was just such a good go-to. And it was a game that came out, like, what, early 90s?
Yeah, something like that. My brother and I do the same thing with Ken Griffey Jr. Presents Major League Baseball.
That's the best. You mean KJP, BB, you get it.
I mean, and the funny thing about that game is that it did not have the Major League Baseball Players Association license.
Mm-hmm.
So they had all the team names, but they could not use the players' names. So they had to create fake names for real players. But you knew which players they were talking about.
Bose Fonseca.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. But that game for me was
amazing. That's so funny.
It was the last time that.
Side note: why don't we have MLB kart racing?
It's like, get in there, Barry.
Oh. Could, like, all your course races could just be around like the city where the stadium is at.
That's actually kind of cool. And then you can be like.
Watch out, EA Sports. I'm coming for you.
But I mean, I think the reason why we don't have that is that, to me, that was like, after that, I probably haven't gotten into a sports game that deep
since, yeah.
Except for Rocket League, because sports games went to like the simulation model, and like I just couldn't hang.
Yeah.
Like all the baseball games after that were like too simulation driven for me, and I just couldn't invest the time into it. And
I mean, another one of the sports games, I remember, I don't know what game it was, but I played with my brother as a kid, this like baseball game where sometimes the ball would catch on fire.
Oh, they did that. Well, they had many. Like, I think RBI Baseball would do that a little bit.
Maybe it was that.
No, it wasn't RBI. It was another one. There was also Mutant League.
Yeah, I just remember like all of the things that you could do were extreme. Like the bat could come really large or whatever. Yeah, those were great.
Yeah.
I mean, and we even played a lot of hockey games that weren't very good, but just so that we could hit each other in the face in a hockey match.
But that's one of those things where you go back to some of those old games and you realize, oh, I can like cheese the AI system every single time by just looping around the net and doing a pass.
Yeah.
Like, and you might not have known that like when you were playing it all the time, but now you go back and it's like, oh, the physics model is broken in such a way that this move will always work.
Well, that's why I think things that are multiplayer age so well. Hmm. And it's kind of a shame that we have such a strong multiplayer renaissance right now, because we don't go back to those games and we're not necessarily learning from them.
Right.
Because, you know, Wing Jammers is a good example, right?
Like, when the Giant Bomb guys got into Wing Jammers.
And I did not know about Wing Jammers until Giant Bomb.
Yeah.
And then I talked to our friend Nate, and there is a pizza place right by where he lives that has Wing Jammers.
Yeah.
And so we went and we played Wing Jammers. Dude. That game is fucking great.
No, Wing Jammers is amazing.
So good.
Yeah.
Such a good, like, multiplayer game. And good luck trying to even find it. I don't know how you play Wing Jammers.
I mean, you could emulate it, or you could get your when did it come out? Was it a CDI game?
I've only played it on the arcade cabinet, so I have no idea. And the arcade cabinet illegally uses an emulator,
right? Exactly. Like, you could get them like a MAME cabinet or whatever. But I mean, like, that again, it's kind of a sport that's abstracted enough to be arcadey, but like,
yeah, you know. Well, and then on top of that, right, things that don't age well, like, you know, so for example, the goal of, you know, circling around the net and getting in a goal, in a multiplayer environment, everything that's broken is broken for both players, and everything that works for both players.
That just becomes a part of the game.
Yeah, so it becomes somewhat balanced, right? I mean, Wing Jammers, I think, is actually pretty well balanced, because there is a balance concern you have to consider when playing some of those old games, but super fun.
It's fun to go back to games like that and just see the developer either purposefully or just by a happy accident just knock it out of the park.
Yeah.
Like, that's why people are so impressed by the original
Smash Brothers?
Yeah. Well, not the original Smash, but I guess Melee.
Yeah.
Like, that game's never had a patch. And it's still...
Yeah.
And new metas still develop.
It's crazy. I mean, I went to a talk at GDC, and the talk was given by someone who's developing, like, a pro... You know, he develops all of the pro scene.
Yeah.
And the number of attendees at Evo that they get signing up for Smash has never been stronger.
Yeah,
they're playing a game that came out years ago. But it is, like, super healthy.
And the game's never been touched. It's like, oh, we got to fix this or tweak this, but, like... It's just a time capsule. Like, there's nothing. Like, that's shocking. Like, when you go back to a game like that and realize that this is a time capsule, but it's still just as good, if not better.
It's crazy. Yeah. You know, conversely, there are those games that do get a patch years later and are better for it, right? Mm. Like, I think another one that I had put on my list was Vampire the Masquerade.
Oh, yeah.
That game, when it came out, was not good, and it was fundamentally broken. And even now, if you buy it, it's not good. But there's a mod that fixes most of the game to make it playable, and when the game is actually playable, it's fucking great. You know, like, that's a really cool experience. And so my hope is that, you know, some of the developers, and I think another example would be what is it called, I backed it on Kickstarter, there's that Eastern European game about like diseases and not paranoia,
like Stalker.
It's similar to Stalker. But Stalker is another good example too, though. If you download Stalker now, there are a bunch of free patches that will make Stalker a more playable experience.
Right. Yeah.
You know, maybe those Eastern European games that came out ages ago, like Stalker, like the game that I can't think of right now, are better now in a way, if you can get your hands on them, because there are mods or things that have been patched that have fixed it.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. I wonder if we will feel the same way about some of the games that we're playing like right now. Like, I was trying to think of some games from like the kind of GameCube or Xbox
era. Like, this game's gonna suck.
Yeah.
Witcher 3.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Sorry.
Not kidding. I'm trying to think of a game like I would be interested to see someone go back to maybe something like The Witcher, but like even like when I played. Now that I played Bloodborne, like going back to Demon's Souls, like how would that age? You know, like how would that, you know, is that actually a good game, or do I like it because it was a great time and place where I played it and it was an influential game?
Yeah. You know? Well, those ones are hard though, because the multiplayer elements and the experience of playing socially at the time is gone, right?
Yeah.
Those are tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I wonder how people will feel about survival games in like 10 years.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Because survival games are like the JRPGs of today. Like, the number of games out there where you have to punch a tree until you can craft something amazing.
I mean, the one difference, though, is they are getting so many patches.
Yeah.
You know, like, the Ark Survival Evolved or the Don't Starves that you can play today are not the games that you could play when they were in an early beta released.
Maybe.
In fact, I'm not even sure. Is Ark out, period, at all? They just added fucking rideable Easter bunnies like not too long ago.
I mean, I think that's probably, I mean, you articulated the maybe the key to all of this thing, which is the games that maybe you liked at one time but then stopped liking, maybe they can't change, you know, because if a game can continue to evolve, then it's like, oh well, it's not even like the original vanilla WoW, like, you know, it's like whatever, 10, 15 years later, that, you know, this is now the game that I like or don't like.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, what, there was a game, I forget what it was, but I bought a game, went into it, saw that I couldn't invert my Y-axis, and then immediately backed out and was like, I'm done. Later on, they patched in the ability to have a Y-axis, but by that point, I wasn't going back. I mean, it's the same thing to some extent, right? Like, I don't know how good Parasite Eve is, but I almost certainly won't go back because the controls are probably just god-awful and I'm not used to it anymore. But if someone was like, hey, everybody, I'm releasing a mod for Parasite Eve that has new controls and a new camera system or something, would it be playable? Would it be better? I mean, it wouldn't be Parasite Eve, but it'd be something else, and maybe it would be something interesting.
Yeah. That seems like it has Kickstarter written all over it. It's like the fake Banjo-Kazooie game that they're making
My other question is, you know, how are we going to feel about MOBAs in 20 years?
Yeah. Yeah. Especially when our children are making their money off of them as professional esports
Well,
players.
They're going to be playing like VR rigs and stuff.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's leave it there for now. ExperiencePoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And ExperiencePoints.net is our website. It's aged, but it's still good.
Well, I mean, till the next patch comes out. That was going to really upset the meta of ExperiencePoints.net.
That'll be next week. Do us a favor, leave us a star review or rating on iTunes and Stitcher. It helps us find new listeners.
Cool. All right, until next week, everyone. Thank you for listening. We will talk to you soon.
Goodbye. Every time we